evening, if you would turn to page 477, stand and sing Stand Up for Jesus.
Is there any special prayer requests that you would like to make before we have prayer this evening? Good. I'm glad everything's going great. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for a good day. And we thank you that you've allowed us together back in your house, Lord, to just encourage each other, to build each other up, to edify, Lord, this part of your church. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you will come, your Spirit will speak, will move in our hearts, will draw us closer, because, Lord, we don't want to leave here the same people that arrived just a few minutes ago. The truth is, Lord, we do want to stand firm in our faith, and we want to be men and women of courage that will be strong, not in ourselves, not in confidence in who we are, but may our confidence be in you. So, Lord, strengthen our faith, increase our faith, so that we truly may live out our faith the way that you'd have us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. The next number is 527. Stand.
Thank you.
They were doing, in 1 Kings chapter 8, they were doing what the people of God tend to do. If we build something, such as this, as a sanctuary, whatever, generally speaking, after it's completed, there is a special dedication service that follows. I mean, it's just what we do. And that's what Solomon and the people of Israel were doing. Solomon had completed the temple. It was done. He had already had the prayer of consecration and dedication to the temple. And they were in the midst now, and I think they may have had it right, by the way. They weren't just going to do one service. They were going to do 7 days of partying, by the way. All right? All at the king's expense. But so they were going to be partying for the next 7 days. But after the prayer of dedication, what we're going to read is Solomon's, well, his blessing upon the people, but also his challenge to the people. So I'm going to be reading from 1 Kings tonight, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to start with verse 54. 1 Kings 8, 54. When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord where he'd been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. He stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, "Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations he gave our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. But your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and to obey his commands as it is at this time." Now the challenge, of course, comes right at the very end of the blessing. The challenge that Solomon gave is, but your hearts must be fully committed to to the Lord. And that sounds right to us. It sounds a bit excessive at times to us, but it sounds right to us most of the times. It may not be practical, by the way, to be fully committed to the Lord, but it at least sounds right to us. I mean, being fully committed to God, it ought to be the right thing, but isn't it a constant battle? I mean, honestly, and I think we can be honest, we're in church, right? It's a constant battle to truly say, here am I, send me. And if we hear the Lord calling, say, I want to go. No, I don't know why we struggle with it, but I think we sometimes do. I think sometimes we find it tempting or even appealing that somehow we just don't want to go all in and all out for God. And so the question to be asked is, well, can we get by with less than being fully committed to God? And the answer is, well, of course we can. People do it all the time. In fact, is, you know, this morning I said hanging around Jesus, and by the way, if you hang around him long enough, yeah, there are things that begin to bother you in your own life and you see things differently, but truly just hanging around with Jesus, that's not too bad, because if we're just hanging around, he doesn't ask to do much from us. That's not too uncomfortable, right? In fact, it can be kind of fun and entertaining to be around Jesus, because you never know what Jesus is going to do, and it's kind of exciting. And a lot of people are that way as they live out their faith. I mean, they don't mind being a part of a church so long as the church sings the songs they like to sing, or so long as the church doesn't do anything crazy like really reach out to people or whatever. I mean, that's okay. But being fully committed to God, that's tough. And it wasn't any different when Jesus walked the earth. That's why I say we can be honest with each other and say that we may be struggling sometimes to be fully committed to the Lord, because they were back then. I mean, there were all the time the crowds were hanging around Jesus. There weren't that many disciples, but there was plenty of crowds. I mean, they liked being around Jesus so long as there wasn't a cross to carry or a sacrifice to make. I mean, think about it. Really, wouldn't it be kind of cool to have seen some of those miracles firsthand? The blind seeing, crippled people walking around, dead people alive again. Now, come on, I got to think that would even make us Southern Methodists yell, hallelujah! I mean, wouldn't it? I mean, wow! And on top of that, maybe even better than all of those things, think about it. On more than one occasion, Jesus gave them a free, cost them absolutely nothing, all you care to eat buffet of bread and fish. What's not to like about hanging around with Jesus? But he just didn't play the game right. I mean, what was Jesus thinking? I mean, sometimes it's hard to believe some of the things that he did and some of the things that he said. Because the truth is, what Jesus said was, and he said, what he demanded from us is what Solomon challenged the people of it. He said, I want a full commitment from you. In Luke's gospel, we find these words of Jesus. First, it starts with these words. It says, large crowds, in other words, a bunch of people were traveling with Jesus. And so Jesus turned to them and he said, if anyone comes to me, doesn't hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, those were crowd-thinning words, by the way. I mean, hanging around Jesus is one thing, but carrying a cross is a whole other thing. And we're told in the Gospel of John that Jesus did a similar thing. There was another large crowd that was hanging around, and he called for them to step up and to step in and to go all out for him. And it says, from that time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed. It's like those crazy people, right? They must have been nuts. I mean, they were right there in the presence of God Almighty. They were in the literal presence of the only begotten Son of God. And they'd seen him do all of these things. They'd heard him teach like no one had ever taught before. And yet, they turned around and they walked away. I mean, what was it about Jesus? What was it about making such a full and complete commitment to Jesus? What, What was so hard for them? I mean, wouldn't you love to know why they walked away? Because the truth is, that's what often happens even yet today. Truth is, they wanted, and many people today still want Jesus on our own terms. We want Jesus kind of at our disposal. We want salvation. We want grace, but we don't want discipleship. But the two are inseparable. So why do we hesitate? Why do we pull back? What are we afraid of? Now, I think we ought to be afraid of some things, by the way. You know, we often get afraid of going all out and all in for Jesus, absolutely. I think what we ought to be afraid of is not that. I think we ought to be afraid of not doing that. And what that's going to mean for our lives, what that's going to mean for our families, what that's going to mean for, you know, for the fullness of life that we live. And the truth is, if we stop and think, look, what if I did? What if I really was fully committed, like Solomon Chow? What if I'm fully committed to the God? Well, in our minds, don't we often see that as a negative? Look, God just might tell me to go sell my stuff like the rich young ruler, and I kind of like my stuff. And if we went all in, wouldn't it mean that we'd have to make church a priority more than a convenience in our lives? Wouldn't it mean we'd have to get more involved in ministry, and wouldn't we have to care about people, and wouldn't we have to do outreach and missions, and wouldn't we have to stop doing some of the things that we're doing, but we know they're not right, but we still like doing them? The truth is, yeah, to all those things. It would mean all of those things. And yet to all that, I think God says to us, trust me. Trust me. Get to know me. Give me your life, and I will give your life back to you like you've never known it before. I think what we forget when we start thinking about trying to hang on to stuff is that it doesn't belong to us anyway. It'd be like if you got up tomorrow morning and went to Citizens Bank, and you went to withdraw your money, and they said, you know what, I think we're just going to keep it. You can't have it. It's ours now. I mean, the fight would be on, right? I got a feeling, and I don't have much in the bank, I'll be honest with you, but I got a feeling the fight's on if they're going to tell me I can't. I don't mind if they use my money, if I put it in there, but if I want it back, they're supposed to give it to me. And if they don't, I'm not going to be happy with that. Well, the truth is, it's God's to start with, and somehow we get to thinking that our lives and all of our stuff belongs, but it doesn't belong to us. And the truth is, God does not need our permission to take it away if he wants to. All right? I like what J. Hudson Taylor once said, and he, by the way, started one of the greatest missionary movements of all time, the China Inland Missions. But J. Hudson Taylor said this. He said, let us give our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influences, our all, right into God's hands. And then when we've given everything that we have to God, there'll be nothing left for us to be troubled about. And I like that. Because we get troubled about a lot of stuff. We get fretting over a lot of different stuff. Jobs and money, economy, and who's going to be the next president, all that stuff. And I think J. Hudson Taylor's advice to us, hey, give it to God and let God worry about it. Give it to God and don't worry about it anymore. Look, God's not waiting for us to be fully committed to him so he can make our lives a living hell. That's not what it's about. No, the lesson that Solomon learned, I think the lesson that everybody needs to know is simply this. We can have it all, but if our hearts are not fully committed to the Lord, it doesn't matter anyway. Solomon wrote these words. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. And by the way, he could have anything he wanted. He said, I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all of my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. Why? Because it left God out. The paradox is simply this. The very thing that we think is going to somehow make our lives less is the very thing that makes our lives full. Well, with all the stuff that we jam into our week every week, and we do, you know, we all do, and it doesn't matter whether, you know, whether you're young or whether you're older, it's just amazing how much we jam into our life. The thing is, we get so much that one week can slide into another week and then another week. And in the words of Mark Batterson, before we know it, we've made another trip around the sun. In other words, another year has passed. And I think, like the newsletter article of this past, it said, you know, sometimes we need mile markers, life markers, to help us slow down and take a kind of look at our lives and make sure that we're going the direction that we want to go and that we're doing the things we want to do, because we don't have an endless amount of time in which to live. In a magazine that I used to subscribe to, it referred to a website called deathclock.com. And it's a joke website, by the way, but I kind of like it. Some people think it's kind of morbid, but I kind of like it. All right, deathclock.com. You can go there and you give them your age, your height, your weight, your overall outlook on life, and then you hit click now, and it comes up and it says, okay, you're going to die on such and such a day. And then it's got these seconds and they're ticking off. Boom, 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 boom. I've got about 10 years left. I looked it up this past week just to see again. One time I looked it up and I'd already died. But anyway, yeah. But there's something about seeing those seconds tick off that clock. And, you know, I sat there and I watched it for, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes just this week, and I thought, wow, I'm not going to ever get those seconds back. And no, again, I don't put stock that, but the truth is, I am a whole lot closer now to my death than I was even earlier in the week. And the truth is, I want to make sure that I'm using those seconds that are ticking off, boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. I want to make sure that I'm using them to the best that I possibly can, and the only way. The only way to do that is to make sure that our hearts are fully committed to God. Because I don't want to wake up one day and realize that I've not lived my life the way, well, that I should have. I don't want to have regrets. I don't want to look back and think, wow, I wasted so many seconds that I should have been doing something because I wasn't fully committed to the Lord. And again, the Lord's not trying to get us to be fully committed so that he can make our lives terrible, but he wants to make our lives full and complete and whole and everything that we're looking for. But it's up to us, right? It's like this old legend story goes, there was a man lost in the desert. And he stumbled upon him, and he's close to death. He's dying of dehydration. And he stumbles upon this old shack, and there's an old rusty, you know, hand pump out back, and he goes out there and he pumps on it, but nothing's coming out, right? And he goes inside and he finds this old glass jug on the shelf, and he kind of wipes it off. There's a note written on it. It says that if you will pour all of the water in this jug into the well or into the pump, the pump will prime and you'll have all the water you need. Well, he had a choice to make, right? He could do what he was told, and if it was right, he would have all the fresh, clean, crisp water he'd ever want. Or he could drink a little bit of that old, stale, dirty hot water and die. In many ways, that's the choice that confronts us each and every day that we get up. What are we going to do with it? We can have that spring of living water that's flowing within us. Or we can settle. We can have a swallow or two of old, stale, dirty hot water if we want. Or we can let the spring of living water flow through us. But it's our choice. And we can't change what we've done to tonight. There's not a thing you can do in your life to change or undo anything that you've done to now. Nothing I can do. Now, I can change what I do this evening, but I can't change what I've already done. So how much commitment does it take to please God? Now, it might seem, you know, to us excessive, what Solomon said, but we know the answer. We know how much commitment it takes to It takes going all out. Herb Kahn, a writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, wrote these words. He wasn't writing them for theology purposes, but I think they're pretty good. He said, every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up, and it knows it must run faster than the fastest lion, or it'll be lunch. And every morning, a lion wakes up, and it knows it must outrun the slowest gazelle, or it'll starve to death. And it doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle, when the sun comes up, you'd better be running. I kind of like that. The truth is, when the sun comes up, we better be running. Not running away from the Lord, but running to the Lord. See, our commitment is about that. It is about life or death and what we choose to do with our lives. Solomon's advice was pretty clear. He said, and may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servants and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. Ah, but your hearts, he said, must be fully committed to the Lord our God to live by his decrees. How much commitment does it take? It takes going all out as if our lives depended on it, because they do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for, again, your word that gives us challenge. And Lord, we confess, yeah, sometimes we do want to hold out and it doesn't make any sense, even though we know it doesn't make any sense. But this week, Lord, help us that these words might just resonate within us. That Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that these words just keep coming back to us, that we might truly, that our hearts might be fully committed to you. Not partially, not 99.9, but may our hearts be fully committed to you, to do whatever you want us to do, to say whatever you want us to say, to whomever you want us to say it. Lord, we just want to make ourselves available to you, because we believe, Lord, we know, Lord, that it's when we truly give ourselves to you that's the only place that we truly begin to live. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you, and may you run tomorrow morning, because if you don't outrun the fastest lion, you're lunch. God bless you. Have a good week.